Hello and welcome to another episode of Monster Dear Monster, a monster exploration podcast where we take a look at monsters from their folkloric origins to their current pop culture incarnations.
Dave, and I am joined today, but well, we're all here.
Yeah.
there's three of us. It's a full crew. Leonard is here. Cameron is here. We survived the interview with the devil. did you have time to watch that one, Cameron?
No, unfortunately.
Okay.
Was it good?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, watch that one.
Yeah. It is on my list.
That's a weird one. Well, anyway, we're trekking, we're road tripping with more demons, because that's apparently what we like to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Find weird demons and go on a little trip.
We got a record of that at this point.
Yeah. At least this one's not like shitting all over the place.
Yeah, that is an advantage.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's always an advantage. That's never a good thing. So, yeah, we took a look at the 2023, I guess technically it's 2024 film, Destroy All Neighbors, another Shudder film. We've moved from Tubi Trash to Shudder Originals.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Shudder or Turlock.
Yeah.
They have a vision.
Someone had a vision here. Visions, maybe. Plural. Yeah, this is a movie about a fellow who is on the long haul prog rock dream. He's a one-man prog rock band, and he's trying really hard to finish his magnum opus, his album he's been working on for 3 years.
Yeah.
But everything and everyone is determined to stop this man from releasing music out into the world that everyone surely will get and bring prog rock back into the hearts of the masses.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good summary.
Yeah. That's the movie. It's the love of prog rock, the power of prog rock.
It compels you.
Never die. It'll just, in fact, it'll keep coming back even when you may not want it to. I love prog rock, but yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a little much. You got
to
be in the mood.
It has to come together. You have to have your flutes and your cymbals and maybe a saxophone solo swings in.
Maybe. You never know.
Who knows? Well, you know, maybe that seals the deal. And some vintage freaking string instruments.
Yeah, baby. Like,
they, now you got to have them.
Got to have your Mobius Megatar.
Yeah. And your little, the little hand synthesizer thing. I know what it is. I just can't think of the name of it. It's like a little tuning thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you got a little stylus and you scratch on it and it makes funky sounds. Anyway, yeah, that's what the movie's ostensibly about.
Yes.
And then figuratively and literally, this dude has to battle with his inner demons to get the album done.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And figure out what's really important to him and, like, lose everything along the way, but also gain something in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a journey of self-discovery, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a movie that asks, what if you have an anxiety disorder, but you have an adjoining wall with a terrible person? Like I did for 2 years. I shouldn't call them terrible. They were children. My old place.
I'm sorry to break it to you, Cameron. Children and terrible, yes, they do equal one another. There is an equal sign between those two.
I know, but like, I can't blame them for being bored at a tiny house. I just wish they had something to do other than bang on my wall at 7 a.m.
Well, as we find out from our protagonist here, there's something you can do about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't call the police. Yeah, it's played for like, I can't even say it's played for laughs. It's not really. This guy. Okay, so we'll get into it. He loves prog rock.
Yes.
He possibly loves his girlfriend. He does not love his job.
No.
Yeah.
He doesn't love the process of making music.
Doesn't seem to. No, he likes the actual music.
I think he likes the music, and I think I understand. Like, this is an identifiable thing, not the music. The act of like, you want to create something, but you want just the finished product.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't want to have to do the stuff to get there.
Mm.
Or like, I mean, you don't mind doing it, but like, it's a slog. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, and you have to be able to like, just do that. And that freedom is like poked fun at sort of in the movie, because his original neighbor is a dude who's working on a big screenplay.
Yes.
Like, he's been working on it, and he finally got it optioned for a film, and he's got it made, and he moves out of this like shitty apartment that they live in. And the apartment is like, it feels kind of like the Batteries Not Included apartment, where everyone's kind of like little weirdos.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they don't spend enough time with any of the little weirdos to like make it endearing.
Yes. Mm.
It's just kind of like, oh, you probably don't want to live there, but everyone seems pretty chill.
Yeah. But it's
really run down.
Everything
probably is full of mold.
The electricals don't work 90% of the time. You've got an awfully loud neighbor on one side, and across the hall is a guy with multiple pigs living in his apartment. Support animal or no. That's not something you want in an enclosed urban environment, is a pig.
No, and then the building manager, who seems really chill, is like not actually involved in doing any of the superintendent building management stuff.
No, of course not.
Yeah. So that's the setup. The setting is like a hallway.
Yeah.
Of this building.
90% of the shots are one open room into this hallway or the hallway itself.
Yeah. And you get like a bit of another room.
Yeah.
And an electrical box.
Oh, well, we spend a bit of time in William's apartment too.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, you get like those, that's the spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very closed, like small set. And then his job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is he's a sound booth engineer.
Yes.
Mm. Sound booth. Sound engineer.
He's sound something.
Booth. At a like failing production company. There's like one employee, him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And the manager, who seems like a cool dude, he's just like a super pushover.
Yes.
Yeah.
Played by Thomas Lennon from Reno 911. Always
doing a fantastic job. I loved his character. It was like, you could see like what he probably had dreams.
Yes.
One point. And now he's here. And William works for him and does all the equalizing and all the mixing and everything. Or they do it together. I'm not very clear on that. But he, William's boss, is like still, he likes the prestige of rock and roll, like music. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He wants to be that producer, but he's not. He's just a dude.
Remember, kids, drugs aren't rock and roll.
Yeah, drugs aren't rock. There's a lot of things that aren't rock and roll.
Yes.
Money, though, apparently is pretty rock and roll. it's the glamour, the status.
Yeah,
is rock and roll to him.
None of the seedy underbelly stuff.
Yeah. Even though that's like how he exists, it's really weird. Mm. I think he has what is that? Where you're, it's the disconnect thing. I'll think of it in a second. The word,
yeah.
It's the one where you're like, there's a reality, and then there's what you're perceiving, and then you're not like meshing the two correctly.
Yeah,
there's a word for it. It's fine.
He's got the big mental disconnect.
Yeah. He's just not like, he's not understanding like what's actually going on. It's really weird because I think he understands that he's kind of failed, but he hit bottom and like there's nowhere else to go.
Right.
So he's just, that's just his lot now. It's just what we do. And I mean, that's also understandable. And they're, I can't even say it's a ticket out of that. they've booked one
Caleb Bang Jensen.
Yeah, who is a
rock star?
No, I don't think he is. I think he got like a break.
Yeah.
And then had one album, and that was, you know, I'd burr a single. Like one hit wondered it, and then he's here now.
Yeah, he's been coasting on that for basically his entire career.
Probably a while. I think he's been in the game for a while. He's there for the other side of rock and roll, which is the sex and drugs.
Yes.
Like for the flash and the glamour and not the music, because his singing is not great.
No.
His songs are not great, but apparently you can get it onto them. I don't know. This guy, he's a lot.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I'm willing to make the argument that everything in this movie is super heightened into like parody.
No, sure. It's not Spinal Tap. It's not like that far into it.
Right.
It's not like, oh, it's making fun of what actually is going on. This is like, I don't know. It's weird.
It's a weird cartoon world. Once again, because everyone's so over the top. We were talking about it in the green room, Dave, where, you don't particularly like William Brown, our protagonist.
So I don't like him as far as his, like, he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not kind of a jerk. He's an asshole. He is an asshole.
He's not great. I can respect that he's trying to live his dream. Like, I don't think that there's anything inherently wrong with what he's trying to do, but he's so self-absorbed.
Yes.
That he ignores everything else that's like important. Knows he's kind of a wash. He's not finishing. He's been working on this album for 3 years by himself. So stuff takes time, you know. But he's like, okay, it's not me, it's the equipment, it's the software. I need the best microphones and the best headphones and the best. So I understand that aspect.
Yeah.
And oh, I want this thing has to be the best. It has to. I'm cruising for perfect or aiming for perfection. Yeah. And everyone, like, if you listen to it, you have to just get it.
Mm.
And prog rock's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But if you get it, you get it. And this is going to be the thing that's just going to, like, bring prog rock
into means.
I don't know what he's aiming for. He wants this album.
Just remember, if anyone likes your music, you sold out.
Yeah. Or if everyone likes your music, you sold out.
Yeah, rather.
Yeah. If it's a hit, it's not prog.
He's just listening to an endless stream of like 40-year-old video instructional videos on YouTube on how to write prog rock and how to play, and it's just the worst advice I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I'll come back to that because there's there's a story that I'm going to mention that deals kind of with that. So he's doing this at the expense of like. Can't say at the expense of work because that his work is technically related. And if anything, he should have been networking like way sooner because his boss actually does like his music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he could have helped him with that. But, you know, he didn't. Because he doesn't have self-confidence. He's not.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is he has his live-in girlfriend who's a.
Yeah.
A depositions lawyer?
Yeah.
Or a lawyer? You do depositions as a lawyer? I don't know.
She does law.
Yeah, does law. She works law. So they don't have like time together.
No.
She's busy.
Yeah.
He's busy with his own stuff. And he made that his whole personality and like literally to the point where when they're breaking up, she's talking to him and then she's upset because he's just not helping her or anybody.
Yeah. You know,
he's not, he can't even help himself, but he's definitely not checked in with like their relationship. He's not engaging in the conversations. She's asked him repeatedly to like, just go get some paper.
Yeah,
paper, and it was that. That was the part that was like making me really not like this guy because.
Mm.
So you can forget something one time.
Yeah,
like that happens, and you'd be like, "Okay, I'll get it to you tomorrow," and then you forget the second time. All you need to do was the thing she did, where it's like, "Hey, I'll be right back. I will bring the paper."
Yeah,
I'll just go get it, and instead he's like. I'll get it next week or whatever. It's so
yeah, like a clear deprioritization. Man, holy put the minimum God. Effort in.
He doesn't do that. Anyway, that's I can't say that's not the here or there because that is if it's a crux of his character is him just like waffling on like everything.
Yeah,
he's not checked in. I feel like there's things that she probably should have like also done earlier. Like this thing seems like the relationships had been in a problem for a while. And those things should have been addressed like by both of them much earlier.
Yeah, because I mean,
so go ahead.
When she's breaking up with him, she admits that this is something that should have been done earlier.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, like that's beyond a question. Like that had to have happened. Mm-hmm. But he's so caught up in himself. He's like, you don't even like my music, and he's like, then what do you like about me? Because that's all I am.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything.
And immediately,
else
I was like, oh, that's not good for. You or anyone.
Yeah.
Like you can't define yourself by one thing.
Hmm.
Or if you do, like it's you can't do that at the exclusion of everything else. Because why are you even in a relationship or doing anything else?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like you're not in the space to like be doing other stuff. So that was making me upset with this guy. And I mean, I think you're supposed to not like.
Oh yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to. You're supposed to go, okay, this guy's kind of deserves all the. And the thing is, he knows it, so it's kind of it's weird. Because he's totally. When things start going zany, he's just like so out of his gourd. He's just like, I guess this is just how it is now.
Yeah.
But I mean, what other choices does he have? He doesn't have. No. That's just how it is. That is how it is now. So I give him like the props of like, hey, he's really rolling with this. But he's so like messed up. That it's not, I don't know. It's a weird, like, I don't feel like he is bettering himself by the end of the movie.
No, absolutely not. He achieves his dream, but he doesn't actually improve as a person in any way. He's just finally gotten through that block.
Yeah, at the cost of like everything and a lot
literally everything.
Yeah.
Well, no. He has gained several friends at the end of the film.
He did have a little help from his friends.
Technically, he learned how to like ask people for help and stuff.
Yes.
That that's going to be very useful.
No, because at the end of the movie, he's sitting on three consecutive life sentences. So.
But he does end up back with his girlfriend, which is he's in prison, but
state are they in? Some states do conjugal reasons.
I mean honestly, like, given everything about this movie, this is clearly California.
That's fair. Yeah. Actually,
yeah, it's California. Anyway, so we'll wind back the clock to when he gets his new neighbor, because the old neighbor moved out to go to Hollywood and get his movie greenlit.
Oh, and that's my favorite. It's like, man, how did you finally do it? It's like, well, you know, I really focused in on it, which I could do because of my father's trust fund.
Yes.
And I didn't work for 3 years or whatever.
Man.
And I mean, that was the point that I had meant to bring up earlier was...
Yeah,
so it takes other things have to, you can be an artist or a creator or a writer. I mean, in this day and age, you have to, if you don't have the golden spoon, or the silver spoon or whatever, then yes, you have to have at least a day job also, because the thing you're doing probably isn't going to pay all the bills.
Oh, yep. No, definitely not.
Yeah, or if it does, it's because you're consistently doing it, like, all the time, which means you have to make the sacrifices of, okay, I mean, I don't go to sleep, or I don't have, like, this is my only hobby. Yeah.
You wake up, and you take and your maybe cocaine. You do
have a family and a spouse and children, and you are... you're struggling and dealing with balancing all that.
Yeah.
And it's doable. There's things that are definitely like stuff is going to get sidelined, or things definitely have like, there's more attention paid to this than to that. Or you break it up and be like, okay, for this part of the year, I'm doing this thing. And, I optioned a movie, or I got some books done, and I can take a break for like a month or something.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have that kind of situation going. So William's life is like, it's not in the optimal situation.
No, like, absolutely not.
You know, and people can't pick and choose that. Like you lucked into it or you're doing this.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room. So just showing that he's like, I mean, the fact that he's sat and like he's actively working on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we don't know how many times he started over or whatever. His songs are 12 minutes long. Who knows? But he's doing some kind of forward progress. He's just like, he's missing that like little, you know, that little key to finish the album. Yes. Because he gets it finished like really easily.
Like, yeah. Well,
you know, when it happens.
Well, and also his other problem is that he's that annoying perfectionist, which, hey,
yes.
I get it. Yeah. Hey, as a creative, as somebody that constant that, to loop around back to your point about, like, yeah, if you have a trust fund and no job and are able to focus your attention on that work, I'm just like, yeah, that's why it's been, oh, I don't know, 2 years since I've made a video for my channel.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Some of us just don't have the time and money to put into our hobbies.
Yeah, and like, I mean, that's what I was saying, like, that's life. And it turns out that the guy that had all the stuff lined up and kind of everything, not everything given to him, I mean, he still had to put in the work,
yeah,
theoretically. Exactly. Turns out he just stole the script from somebody else.
Yes.
And it's in, like, litigation hell and stuff. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So even the dudes that had, or the people that had all the stuff, like, everything lined up for them, still fucked it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like, for William, that's just like, oh, holy crap. You know, the people I thought had everything, like, that I was jealous of and, you know, was angry at or whatever. I was like,
yeah,
they're just little messed up guys too.
Yep. They can all be little gremlins together in the state jail.
Yeah. Okay. So that brings us to the old dude moving out and a new neighbor coming in, Leonard. How does this pan out in the beginning? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, so this horrible Slavic monster man played by Alex Winters in, like, maybe one of my favorite, like, full body costumes.
It's
in
such a good set of prostheses.
Yeah, moves in. He's loud. He's annoying. There's constant noise coming from his apartment into Williams, which happens to their adjoining wall is the wall where Williams working on his album. So now he can work on it.
Yeah.
And because Williams, a spineless loser, deeply unlikable spineless loser, he tries to get his manager to knock on his door and tell him to stop making noise. And then he calls the police on him.
Sure, by way to end that conflict.
Mainly because, how did Vlad, his neighbor's name is Vlad, by the way.
Yes.
What was the thing that spurned Vlad to spit? Haka loogie.
So he got up. William got mad enough that he punched the wall one time.
There we go.
Very gently.
He, like,
barely touched it. Honestly,
he mustered his manliness and punched the wall.
Yeah.
And then immediately recoiled because the music stopped.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so that caused Vlad to spit in his peephole, which then caused William to call the police.
Yeah.
And we get a really fantastic police come up. Also, it took like 2 hours and 13 minutes for them to arrive.
Realistic. Which is
very funny, very realistic. And we get the, it is very kind of like old Hollywood tropey. They walk in, Vlad's there talking to his girlfriend, Emily, and they're having like tea and a pleasant conversation. Meanwhile, every single time that anyone's back is turned to him and William, he's like basically doing the neck slit motion.
Yeah, giving him the eyes.
it's very amusing. Vlad offhandedly mentions that William knocked on the wall, and the police get really offended by that, which is very funny.
Yeah.
And just leave. And it's a great introduction to this because he doesn't look like Vlad does not look like a person. He does not look like a human being. He looks like
a fucking Muppet.
Yeah, he looks like like if you took cauliflower here and turned it into a person,
looks like a troll from Trolls. It's got that big ears, this incredible cauliflower nose.
Yes. Just
beyond, and like he's got the he's got the Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder hands. He's got these big meaty paws.
Yeah, like giant like sausage fingers, and
has like sharp like black nails.
Yes.
And he's quite fuzzy, and then he's just little Popeye armed guy.
Yes.
And has a lot of like massive amounts of like wiry like eyebrow and ear. It's just there's a lot of hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
and he looks very like moist, like sweaty.
Yeah, he's also a weirdo. Because it eventually gets to the point where Will does decide to confront him. Although rather than knock on his door, he just walks into his apartment. Which is weird, but also just kind of sets a precedent for people in this movie's universe.
Yes.
Because somebody else does that later on out of the blue. Vlad's a bizarre character because it is very difficult to tell whether or not he's nuts. Right? We can all agree that he's nuts, but I don't think he's dangerous.
He's just completely weird, and if you had left him alone, there would be no problem. But unfortunately, of course, Billy can't leave this alone because he's that kind of perfectionist, which extends to his environment as well as his own personal work. Like, he can't stand having this immense disturbance.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, because even so, they do. When Billy goes over there, and all the noise that's been happening is Vlad like homemade bench pressing with like little cement blocks, buckets.
Yeah. Yeah, with like four TVs going with rock music and pornography. And a bunch of like,
yeah, he has like EDM cranked up because that's his party music. And he's just lifting like heavy weights. Like he moved his own furniture in himself. Like that was the funny, like he's moving this way too large of couch, like up, you know, along the hall and pulling it through the door. Before you ever see him, you just hear him like grunting and manhandling like massive furniture by himself.
Yeah.
But he's very, he's congenial in a menacing way.
Yes. Yep.
It's not like British congeniality. It is, I don't even know what it is. The old country?
It's really old country style, like, welcome, come in, sit. You come into my home, you're showing some courage.
Yeah. This is what you should have been. You should have just come in to me the first time and we talk like men, and then we fight.
Mm, yeah.
And then we're done.
I'll show you how to break a bottle on a man's head.
And then he has the stories, you know, it's like I think it was his little brother. Cousin.
Yeah.
Someone who was like, you remind me of like my little brother, and he didn't stand up for himself. And I taught him to fight. But then he ended up dying. And this guy's whole village was like destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe by the devil? It's it does not get into any backstory.
Could be for the devil. This guy who's
not human.
Could be some weird Soviet Cold War era purge thing. Who knows?
Yeah, it doesn't. He has like the dog that ate the cupcakes or whatever, a flashback face.
Yes.
And he's just like, so much blood. But he's not like, he's talking to himself.
Yeah.
Whatever it was messed up. And he's a messed up guy. But he's not human. And he's just like goading William. He's like, let's fight. Then they're punching each other, but then he's like, it's hurting him.
Yeah. he loves it.
Yeah, he loves it. He's a little paunchy guy. Then he's like, yeah, I'll show you how to break a bottle on a man or cut it. So they're like broken bottle fighting. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
He's trying to feed him gross chicken. It's like, what is going on here? This little weird guy. And he like slips on
some gross chicken
sauce or the piece of chicken or whatever.
It is like the half-eaten chicken wing he threw on the floor earlier.
Yeah. He slips, falls backwards, hits some of his equipment, and it like impales himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's it's the funniest thing. It's the funniest thing because like the pipe's sticking through him, and like it glorps up like blood.
But like viscous,
like goopy, and he's like, oh, the blood. We put it back in, and he's like, he's like holding the goop in his hands and trying to shove it back in the pipe. It's ridiculous. And then William just like, you can't put it back, whatever. He's like, it's okay. I'll pull myself off of it. And he's using his chain from his set to like lift himself off the pipe, but it undoes the cinder block, which swings and like decapitates him.
Yes. It's a very Final Destination.
Yeah. It's like, what? And then we enter like did William get a hold of the drugs that one dude, it's just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Because Vlad just keeps talking to him. His decapitated head is like,
well, like,
ribbing him.
Yeah, because first his YouTube video starts talking, and it's like, wow, that's one hot lick. So you've killed someone.
Yes,
don't worry. Yeah. All you need to do is, and starts listing off what to do with a dead body.
Yes,
and it's telling like the specific information. So. The thing I'd wanted to mention was there is a book I had just read, and it's called The Handyman Method. And that book is about a family that moves into like a fixer-up house.
Yeah.
And the entire time they're there, the dad has been listening to this Handyman Hank YouTube videos on fixing stuff. But as the book progresses, the Hank character starts just talking to him. Like he's like directly saying, oh yeah, that's a bad hole right there. I can tell you how to fix that with a pen. So it's like, this feels like that.
Yeah.
Because his hero guy is like, now directly addressing the events.
Yes.
Like, and consistently. Will
do for the rest of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you better get down to the hardware store and you're going to need, you know, get a bunch of the different blades. The wood one works really well on bone and flesh.
Yeah.
And it's like, and about now you probably are, the adrenaline's wearing off and you're probably starting to freak out. Don't worry, you know, just get this done. And it's going to take about 3 weeks to melt that body, so maybe we should just chop it up and throw him in the woods.
Yeah.
Could have led with that, but okay.
Yeah, it's really good. That whole segment is great. And it, like the the main part of it is like him getting the handheld wood saw, electric wood saw, and them just going to town on the gore effects. And this one shot of like a very clearly like rubber piece of flesh and just like poking at it with the electric saw, and then cutting back to Willy, just like splashes of gore everywhere.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It's worth noting that this movie, like, there's some CG stuff, but this movie has a lot of really good practical gore effects.
Yes.
And puppets, like, alongside, like, Vlad's ridiculous, like, full body suit for Alex Winter. Like, there is, like, some really fun, like, splatter gore going on throughout this entire film, and it's very amusing.
Yeah, it's, like Brain Dead or Dead Alive, like adjacent, like it's slapsticky, or Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that, maybe a little more slapstick and a little less gore.
Yeah.
But the gore that's there is like, oh yeah, that's messed up. Like that's not good.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, mostly it plays it for laughs.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's pretty much all for laughs. At least to be like, you're not gonna watch it and be like, oh no, that's disgusting. It's more like, oh no, it's clearly fake.
Yes,
yeah,
but that like it's done in the way that it's like a trauma film, but more budget.
Oh yeah, speaking of, the weird nightmare sequence that we skipped over where Vlad's the ceiling fan.
Oh yeah, that was actually pretty gross.
That was real bad.
So the fan is spinning, and then all of a sudden it has like Vlad's socks on the blades.
Yes.
And his face is the center piece, and then the fan's just lowering and lowering and lowering, and then he has the little pull chain out of his mouth, and he keeps like nodding for William to pull the chain. And William's just like turning, he's like, oh, I don't want to, but it's so close to him, so he pulls the little chain, and then just gore like vomits out on it. It's pretty gross. Like of the grossest, that's probably the grossest thing.
Oh, absolutely horrific.
It's definitely Vlad is like, he's kind of like Freddy Krueger. Like that's the level of that's the level of weird comedy, but not malevolent.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a slightly less malevolent nightmare.
Yeah, or maybe like Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's kind of like that. If your childhood imaginary friend was actively probably trying to kill you, also, but not in a horror movie way.
Yeah, just being completely weird and creepy the entire time.
Yeah, the nightmare scene was pretty good. Like I kept thinking that his wife was gonna, or girlfriend was gonna roll over and be like Vlad face.
Yeah,
Instead, she's just laughing at him during this nightmare sequence in his nightmare.
Yeah, I mean that shows just all of his insecurities of like thinking that she's not really believing in him, and I mean technically she did kind of check out. the music part of it probably a while back,
right?
Oh, like, yeah. I can only listen to this track so many times. You know. Year three, it has another bridge in it. Okay, great.
Oh boy, here we go again. Yeah, I don't blame her on that front. It gets to the point where he's like, well, melting them won't work, cutting them up hasn't really worked. There's only one thing that can be done. I need to get to a blast furnace.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's like he Googles like a treatment plant.
Just looks it up on Google, which is sure to be absolutely avoidable in court later.
Yeah.
And then
he just goes there.
Yeah, he just loads Vlad up in the back of the van, in all his various pieces, and then heads off to the freaking the metal plant.
Mm.
Drives up, and lo and behold, it's everyone's favorite surprise cameo, Kumail Nanjiani, as the security guard.
I haven't seen other movies that he's been in. I've just seen this in Ghostbusters, but he's playing the same dude.
Yeah, that is his.
Is that his shtick?
Yeah,
that's his thing. He just is a guy that wants to sell stuff on eBay.
Not necessarily sell stuff, but it's like that attitude is very much
characters. So yeah, they just have a little back and forth, and that was it. It's like a one off. He's just there. They have a little. I guess it's a battle of wits, but neither of these two have very many wits.
Yes.
It's just yeah, it's a lot. Like, it's very silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, I'll bribe you with my $15. Like, no. You can't come in.
Here's a cassette that's worth $400.
I don't do eBay. You want me to make a seller's profile to process my bribe? Which, hey, fair point.
Yeah. Then he still keeps the cassette. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's like, give me that. I'm like, no, it's mine now. I'm going to sell it on eBay. So he can't get in. He just leaves.
And after then he
breaking the sign.
Yes. Well, technically Vlad did it.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Because Vlad's still like he's not disembodied. He's just disconnected.
Yeah,
what do you call that? Disassembled.
Yeah,
dismembered. He's animate. In a way that's like it makes you think. Is William just imagining this? No. No, he's not.
It's so weird because, like, 90% of the film, it's like these undead are not here. It's like it's like an American Werewolf in London situation. But then the last 10% of the film is like, no, they were physically there the whole time.
Yes. Which makes it just seem like they could just be invisible. And then if William wants it enough, he can make them appear.
Maybe. That might be it. Is it his psychosis coming to the fore, physically appearing in the world of prog rock. People? Power prog rock. Yeah, if it'd make for a good album cover, they show up.
Yeah.
Then William gets a call from his former boss, because he's been fired at this point, to bring some cords back to the studio.
Mm.
Where
those cords were expensive.
Yes. where he then proceeds to accidentally kill an unhoused person named Augie,
mm-hmm.
who we've encountered previously in the film. Well, technically, Vlad killed him because Vlad put the car in reverse and ran him over.
Yeah.
He gets a really ridiculous skid mark from the tire. On his head, instead of like a crushed head, which would have been gross and off-putting for the rest of the movie, it's just a goofy tire track like a Looney Tunes. Then we get the revelation that Augie is in fact the guy from the tutorials that that Will has been watching this entire time. So Will's like, no, I can't have killed my hero.
He's like, you have to tell me how you finished the album or whatever.
I need to learn how to do that fork slide.
Yeah. Yes. So now he's got two bodies and two ghosts bugging him. Just decides to do the thing that he should have really done from the get-go, which is just throw those bodies into the woods.
Yeah, they find bodies in the woods all the time here. They'll just assume you're from some actual serial killer.
Yes. Because he likes constantly saying that he's not a serial killer. He's a serial manslaughterer.
Yeah. Technically, he'd be a spree killer.
But yes. I actually really glad that they addressed this, because this entire time he's been wearing the clothes that he used to dismember Vlad.
Mm.
So he's covered in blood.
Yeah.
Like actively covered in blood. And I'm just like, is he just going to walk around like this for the rest of the movie? But no, after he dumps the bodies, he immediately strips and also throws, which once again, hey, good way of getting caught, idiot, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever at this point. Will's not the smartest chook in the shed, whatever it is.
He gets back to his apartment. Hey, there's something wrong with the power. Goes back down to the basement to check it. And the manager, Eleanor, is dead. Electrocuted. A hilarious charred skeleton. Because she had asked him when he was going to dispose of that Vlad in the morning to check the fuse box like he always does for her. Yeah. And, of course, because he was carrying a dismembered body, he was like, yeah, no, you should do that yourself. And also, you should just call an electrician because that's your job. Mm-hmm. So, she stuck a screwdriver into a rat's nest that was the fuse box and electrocuted herself.
Yeah.
Weird and kind of protracted sequence of him getting drunk with Vlad and Aggie in Vlad's apartment.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like
I thought they were porn. I think it felt like, because at this point you still don't know, like, what's Vlad? Is he nefarious? Like, what is going on? And then how is Aggie also undead? Like, there's no rules.
Yes.
Stuff just happens and you just go, okay. I mean, after a while you just go, okay, that's how it is now. And I couldn't tell, like, was Aggie making a thing and then just was like, what's he giving him? Like weird zombie juice? It's like, no, he's just nope, that's just like Everclear or something. They're just getting sauced up.
Getting real messed up in there.
Yeah. And then they go to listen to his music.
Yeah.
Because Vlad's like, let me hear the thing that you killed me over.
Yeah.
What got me killed?
That seems like a reasonable request, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
And while they're doing that, Philip, the neighbor with the potbelly pigs, just walks into his apartment and tells him to shut it off. This is where, once again, it becomes real weird and nebulous whether or not these ghosts are in his head, because Philip does not acknowledge Vlad's decapitated head or Augie at any point. William then proceeds to accidentally kill him with a shard of a vinyl record.
Yeah,
it was his prized record.
It was his prized record. That is
to be fair. I mean, so in this instance, William is like, "Hey, you know, the guy just walked in there."
Yeah. Yes.
And then started just wrecking his shit.
Yes.
Like, yeah. My dude, you didn't have to go that hard. There's other ways to resolve this first. And each of these deaths, they have all been accidental. Like, he's not maliciously killing anybody.
Right.
But he definitely, like...
contributed.
Well, yeah. I mean, by existing. But yeah, the jagged vinyl in the neck. It's like,
oh man.
He's like, I'll let me get that out of there for you. He's like, oh no, let me put it back because all the blood's coming out.
Hey, kids, if you see someone with a deep stab wound, don't remove the object.
Yeah.
This has been our health and safety tips.
Yeah, I think that's usually when it's something that's plugging the hole to the giant vinyl record. That's not going to matter.
Yeah, true.
It has very gory horror movie, that sequence from Kung Fu Hustle with the knives, energy, which is a joke that makes me laugh every time. So, like, this ridiculous gore version of it is super hilarious to me.
Yeah, well,
the director on this did work with Kung Pao Enter the Fist, which had some, like...
Oh, really? Nice. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
That's very cool, actually.
Stomach plug. There you go.
Yes. And then
go for Chucks.
What is it? Philip falls on William. William then proceeds to stab him with every sharp object he can get his hands on.
Yep.
Which is also hilarious.
Well, because he, like... I think he started resurrecting at that point. He was definitely pretty much dead.
Yeah.
And then I think he was getting up, and then that freaked William out, so then he started stabbing him with everything. But he was stabbing him with, like, a lot of things, including, a meat cleaver.
Meat cleaver. Just anything and everything.
In the back, like, all of it. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Into his, like, Argyle sweater.
Yeah. Man, yeah. Of course, this is the point at which his girlfriend, who has been staying away for a couple of days working on a deposition because they also definitely needed a break, decides to walk back in to check on him because he hasn't been answering his phone for 2 days because he's been trying to dispose of two bodies.
Yeah, he's covered in blood. There's
a dead body.
Travesty, a dead body.
Yeah.
Two remnants.
Yeah. And we get the most stupid encounter ever, which is her immediately going to leave and going, no, you can't leave. It's fine. It's fine. It's like, are you going to call the cops? She's like, yeah, I'm probably going to call the cops.
Yeah, well, then he trips on the pig, and then she thinks he's lunging at her.
Yeah.
So she takes off.
Makes a run for it.
Yeah.
And then we have the same two cops from before coming up the elevator some unspecified time later and going, oh, hey, it's the guy. That was easy. Because he's not left the hallway.
Right.
They take him in, they book him. And he's in the drunk pit in the county jail. I guess they don't have anywhere more secure to hold him before he's actually officially charged.
Yeah, and when that's where he runs into his old former neighbor, and it's revealed that he got in a bar fight, and it was with the dude who he stole the script from.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, yeah, that's just working out. And then he's like, would it be like bad form if I asked you for your ex-girlfriend's phone number?
He's like, yeah, man.
He's like, yeah, that would not be, that's not cool. He's like, okay, fair enough.
Gotta shoot your shots. Yeah, it's like, I'm going away. This is over, I guess. I'll never get to finish my album, but at least this is sorted out. Because, like, it appears like the Revenants aren't appearing to him in the jail. Like, he's still ranting and raving and being all crazy. But there's nothing there.
Yeah, I think they have to physically walk there is the problem.
Yeah. Takes a little while to get there.
I mean, one of them is just a collection of parts.
Yeah, true.
He gets his public defender, who is played by Alex Winter, not in horrible Vlad makeup, who informs him that he gets to go free because there was no body in the apartment, and the police could not find a body.
Or any blood,
which is, the implication is that the potbelly pigs ate him, Hannibal style.
Yeah, every single last... speck of Philip was devoured over the course of an hour.
I mean, he was on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was within potbelly reach.
Yeah, which I found really amusing. Philip then is asked to identify Eleanor's body.
Yeah.
For some reason.
It was a formality.
Yeah. Oh, is that thing where they need someone to
I don't
to
think
go,
there's
hey,
any
I'm
other,
sure
like,
them.
I think it's a one hallway apartment. Like, I don't know that there's any other tenants.
Yeah.
So with his girlfriend gone and then the two other tenants dead, there's no one else to
to verify the identifier. Something like that.
Maybe. I don't know. I thought she had a dude over.
Yeah, she did.
Like earlier. It was not that same night, but I don't know.
Who knows?
They said it was a formality, and so he went to go do that, and then she's a,
unless it was Philip she had over.
I don't,
which case, you know, he's missing.
Yeah, maybe it was. They were watching sexy movies.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I don't know.
Who knows? I don't remember. It's a mystery.
The plot? I guess it's the Chekhov's prog rock gun.
Yes, yeah. Because Eleanor's constantly been saying she's got something
that will help finish the album.
Yes.
Yes.
Every single time that she appears. And Will always blows her off because what does this old lady know about prog rock? She's not cool like me. she turns out to be cooler than Will, unsurprisingly. Yeah,
obviously.
she is also now an amazing charred skeleton puppet.
Oh my God, I love this. It's so good. Like, holy shit.
Go on, Cameron. regale the audience with this amazing, amazing.
Just a skeleton covered with an expanse of completely charred blood and flesh with, like, the single perfect blue eyeball staring out of it and rolling around like that eye clearly had its own little servo motor thing.
Yes.
Because that eye is so incredible. It's just like a focal point. But it is so, so incredible. It's like the super decomposed Jack in American Werewolf in London, but he's also just been burned.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's ridiculous.
And she has like bits of her outfit still kind of like.
Yeah, got a jacket attached. On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She takes him and the crew down to the basement and shows all of her amazing prog rock instruments.
Yeah, her Mobius Megatar, this horrendous, like, three-necked giant guitar thing.
I was actually kind of excited to hear what you would have to say about...
Man, I will say, look, guitars aren't my specialty. These feel excessive.
they look like they are designed to do what they need to.
Yeah, these are what I would call the pipe organs of the prog rock world. it's the same principle. Like a pipe organ is a piano with three extra keyboards strapped to it, and then just a ridiculous amount of sound amplification. This is just that for a guitar. It's like, what if we strapped two electric guitars and a bass guitar together and made them a single thing that you can play on, but you can only play one, maybe two lines of it at a time? It's impractical if you don't have six arms.
You just gotta be that good.
You gotta be that good. And apparently, Augie was. Because that's his old Mobius Megatar.
Yes.
Oh man.
We enter into the end stretch of the movie where Will and his ghost crew decide to go back to his old studio where he worked and finish his album finally.
Yes. Like, he's being cleared, he's free to do what he wants. He's free of all attachments now that obviously because his girlfriend probably never wants to see him again. I don't blame her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I can finally have time to finish my album. I don't have to do anything else. And he gets there and his former boss and Caleb Bang Jansen, because you have to say the whole damn name every time, they're in their jocks, completely drugged off their faces. Clearly having a very great straight time in the recording studio. And this is the point of the film that really fucks me up, because it's like, what are you doing here, man? It's like, well, I bet you never expected this. And he throws Vlad at his former boss. And it's clear they are physical, real revenants.
Yes.
Because Vlad is like choking the ever living hell out of this man and like slamming him against a wall and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's so weird. I love it.
They attached like his hands and feet to like the head.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, made a little Ewok Vlad.
It is some very basket case imagery, which is wild and something that I never thought I'd see reference in the year of our Lord 2024. So I was there for it.
Here it is.
Well, it's those, they were called like, not a moblin, because that's from Zelda, something like that, little goblin things. They were in a cage. You could buy the toy.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what they're called.
Boogeyman or something? I don't know. Anyway.
I have no idea like what that is. Sounds great, though.
I'll find a picture of it. Yeah. It's just... he's just... He basically kidnaps them to help him finish
the album. Yeah,
because someone has to control like the the control booth.
Yeah,
while he's recording,
it's just the way it is. You gotta have someone there.
And then now he has his Revenant band. It's ridiculous.
It's kind of cool. I do love
it. It's kind of cool, particularly because he has the his hero with him.
Yeah, got Swigs with him. Got Vlad for some reason still hanging around.
Look, all he had to do was bring some croissants and this could have been solved a long time ago.
Oh yeah. Like just sit down and talk with Augie in the car park while we give him some croissants, and you would have found out who he was. Be like, man, I'm just trying to write this album, you know, I'm following all these tutorials by this one guy, and he goes, oh hey, yeah, that was me. And like the physical resemblance is obvious. Like, to the point where he recognized him with a tire track on his face.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he had the ring. He had, like, rock god ring on.
Yeah. And, of course, as he got run over, he said, that's one hot lick.
Yes. That's crazy.
I do love Augie. Yeah, they start composing their rock god prog rock album. And it's as prog rock as anything's ever been, like some beautiful starting music. And then we get cuts to like just chanting about the goblin and what the goblin is saying, like telling this fantasy ass tale in the middle of your album, because of course you're going to do that.
Yep.
What would prog rock be if it didn't have some sort of literal storyline baked into the album that no one understands?
It's a concept album. You got to get the
concept. Yeah, it's high concept, you know, goblin mode, whatever the kids are doing these days.
Vlad mode.
I'm sure Vlad brings his own special kick to it.
Two little feet.
Yeah. No, Vlad is like playing the drums with his intestines.
Yes,
like, there he can control them. Like they're like tentacles, and it kept using them. And I don't know. I was trying to figure out where the movie was going. I'm like, okay, you're just using them like ropes. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's I kept all right. Thinking we're that wasn't going to happen. Like,
we're not going all the way into the hentai gallery with Vlad. Always there a little bit because we know what he's like. But
yeah,
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta keep that rating.
The SWAT team shows up at some point.
Yes, yeah, someone calls the cops because there are hostages in this building.
Yes. And also William's ex-girlfriend shows up, and he somehow convinces her to stall the cops because he needs like 38 minutes to finish the album.
Yeah. Now, depending on how she tells this one story, we've got between 25 and 38 minutes to finish our album.
Which is pretty good. That's a pretty good joke. But yeah,
like, it shows there is like a level of connection there. Yes. Like A, that he's able to convince her, but B, that he knows that intimately enough, like it's a part of their thing, that she will tell this story to just get out of something for an X amount of time. Yeah. And so gotta go write your album real fast. Finish recording.
It's pretty great when they're doing the hostage negotiation thing, and the cops had pulled her in to do to convince him to try to like give himself up or let the hostages go. And so she has a bullhorn, and he's half out of the doorway in the studio, but he just wheels out the amp he was using, and he's using the microphone, but it has all the effects still on it, so it's like
auto-tuned.
it's really
that
good.
That was pretty good. That bit was pretty great. Yeah. I like that a lot.
They were can you turn off the effects, please? And he's like, oh, yeah, sorry. I was using this.
I do
like that, like right toward the end, the negotiator guy or the chief or whoever he is, he's like, oh, that's a Megatar.
Yeah. I'd recognize one.
He's like, I'd recognize it anywhere, but she's stalling. We got to go in. Because everyone gives the vibe of like super troopers. It's real weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And as they're sort of going in, it becomes clear that someone's attempting to stop the creation of the album. And, of course, it's Vlad. He really is the antagonistic force here.
Yeah, and he called the cops, too.
Yeah.
I called the cops, Billy.
God, I love Vlad so much.
Yeah, he, like, megazords himself. He builds a body out of, like, the pieces of studio equipment and wires and cords and things.
Yeah, it becomes like a 9-foot purple demon of rock.
Yes.
And this is where I feel like they started at this image, and then like we got to reverse engineer the film to this point.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We want this to be the album cover. Now we have to figure out how we get here.
Yeah. I mean, there's like they're recording in the thing, but they're like, I guess just for mood, they made it feel like a music video, even though I think he's just recording the audio.
Just the audio,
And he's playing, and I think he did 3 costume changes in like 2 seconds.
Something like that.
He definitely put on multiple jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And the SWAT team comes in, and they chuck like the tear gas things, but it just makes a smoke effect.
Yeah.
And to highlight all the lasers and stuff. It's pretty good.
It's pretty fantastic. Billy, his reign of terror comes to an end. He's tackled by a SWAT officer.
He gets the glow though from like Barry Gordy in The Last Dragon. He prog rocks out and is like glowing, like lit up neon. It's pretty cool.
Yes,
and smite is Vlad.
Yes, and
Vlad. Yeah, it's very pick of destiny.
Yes.
Cut
to an indeterminate amount of time later. He's in prison, obviously.
Of course.
But he has wasn't a Grammy, but he's won some award. He's
won sort of award, which is being presented by Caleb Bang Jansen and his former boss.
Yes, they are taking credit for it because they technically helped mix and master it.
Yeah. We hope you're very happy with the award. And it's just got the tone of, please don't come after us.
Yes.
you know, they have a terrible experience being attacked by the undead, which no one else can corroborate. So. Oh man, yeah, and he wins technically. I mean, he's in prison for 3 consecutive life sentences, but he's gotten his recognition. He's published the greatest prog rock album ever. And like
which
we said,
is weird he's, because they don't have any bodies, and so technically all he did was kidnap 2 people.
I mean, like armed hostage taking. And then
that's gonna get you 3 life sentences, though. He didn't
kill anybody. While they don't have bodies, those people did disappear. So, like, I can see it like with the jury being like, he's the prime suspect, reasonable doubt and all that. But he's like, we lost track of him for this long. These are the places he showed up asking. Like, he showed up at a metalworking plant asking to see their blast furnace.
Yeah.
there's
yeah,
enough
for sure. There's reasonable doubt or whatever, but it's still like, I don't know about the 3 life sentences. And then he's just like, maybe we can bargain it down to life without parole. Like, I don't think it matters at that point.
it's the principle of the thing,
I guess. But yeah, then they he and his girlfriend. It's like a meet cute in jail. It's very strange.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredibly weird. But yeah, they're back on good terms. Whether that's an actual relationship term or not, who knows at this point. But she is his lawyer, which feels illegal. I don't know if like you're allowed to have that kind of relationship with a client.
I don't think you can. We looked that up when we were watching a movie from India where apparently you can. I don't think it's a client, an attorney, but you can have in the movie in question had a husband who was a police officer and then his wife, who was a prosecutor, working on the same case. But she was representing the villain. And the guy, and he was trying to capture him. So there's definitely conflict of interest, but apparently that's not a problem in the Indian court system.
Maybe not. Who knows?
But I think in this case, yes, I would say that there's probably they don't allow that.
Yeah. But yeah, you know,
I don't know. I mean, you can technically defend yourself. It's just dumb.
Yeah, you shouldn't. yeah, they have their little meet cute, and she's like, "Oh, I left you something in your cell." I'm like, "Does that work that way?"
Yeah, I know. I was like, "How does she get in the cell?" I think she can give it to somebody, and they can
put it
there with a bribe. I don't know how that.
Yeah. Works. Anyway, she's left him a cassette player, presumably with a cassette of his album on it.
No, it's the little instrument.
Oh, yeah, right, brain. My brain saw and went, that looks like a cassette player.
No, it's even older. It's older than a cassette player. It's
a little and yeah, so he's got access to his music again, and he looks out his cell window, and there are the 3 Force ghosts of Philip, Eleanor, and Augie just smiling back at him.
Like, all of us are used to these bars. That's just...
Yeah. Oh, it's real dumb.
Yeah, it's very silly. Yeah. There was even, we didn't mention it, but there was a little makeout scene between Augie and Eleanor,
while
they were revenants.
Yes. Yeah. Got to enjoy your afterlife.
Hey, I mean, they didn't care.
Yeah.
Billy was like, guy, please.
Please, man. Get a room. Oh, but yeah.
This was I had fun. Fun movie. I just don't like the protagonist, but
I mean, hey.
I mean, the reasons are like very specific. So you know.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
The movie, the movie wouldn't work as well if he wasn't that way.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it it's needs meant, him to be just asshole. Like a kind of a little jerk. And I mean, no one else is any better. So everyone else is just kind of everyone's kind of shitty.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, there's no great people in this.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
Except for maybe Eleanor. She was cool.
Maybe Eleanor. Eleanor was pretty chill. Yeah, like she's not a great at her job as the building manager, but like
no, that's not but like a mortal sin. Stand up person.
Honestly, yeah. I think Eleanor and Emily were probably like the least like not terrible character, like are not bad people.
Yes.
Everyone else is. Because once again, everything is so heightened and cartoonishly ridiculous in this movie, like the fact that everyone is kind of a weird piece of shit really works to this movie's benefit, in my opinion. And it's the reason why, because I normally don't like characters like William. I don't like unlikable protagonists in my media, but because like he is such a cartoon character version of this kind of unlikable, like feckless guy, I was able to just be like, okay, yeah, you're not a real person. You're like a caricature of a human being. So you're not going to be able to actually get under my skin.
I mean, they drew him with tiny ear canals.
That's true. God. That's right.
Him and his tiny ear canals. Jesus.
God, he kept sticking his finger in one in his ear. I'm like, hey, stop that.
You quit that, man. Quit. Not good for you.
No, you have tiny ear canals. Don't put anything in there.
Yeah.
If you can fit your pinky, you can fit your earplugs. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Those expand.
But yeah, definitely worth a watch. It's not super long either.
Like, no, it's
90 minutes. Even,
maybe. Yeah. It moves real fast. Like it's not. Yeah. It's not sitting on anything. It doesn't linger really long. I wish. No, I don't even. I like that there wasn't a backstory for Vlad. He just shows up and is weird.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And no one questions it. That's just how it is. Okay, that's cool. Then he's like a demon. I mean, he already was a demon, but now he's like the demon that's trying to kill Billy or stop his album. It's not clear what his motivation is. He's just a weird guy. And he's a little taller now. I wish that had at least had some kind of like, what are you doing? Are you, what's going on with that? But since they don't explain anything, and like if you just die when you're near Vlad,
maybe
you're a revenant, or maybe. Is it because you accidentally were killed by Billy? Like, we don't know.
Billy is specifically cursed, is my guess.
Probably Billy.
Probably Billy's fault. We can be fair with that one, surely. Yeah.
I mean, he's been haunted by the video ghost of his idol who wasn't dead.
Yeah. So. He started from a rough place. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Which is fun. And that's something we talk about. Like when you do have, so this guy is like a little gormless dude, but he is an unreliable narrator.
Yes.
So I like that because you can't trust, he can't trust himself and you can't really trust what he's perceiving either.
Yeah, definitely.
Although it turns into like, maybe that all was happening anyway. So, okay.
Yeah. We'll never know.
Yeah, because not everyone was reacting to it. So it's like some people, like if he I don't know, ectoplasm, like there's another, not, it's not ectoplasm. There's the other thing that's like a psychic emanation.
Yeah.
Maybe he like manifests it, and then like if he's in contact with it, it becomes real or tangible.
Yeah,
I think there's some like room to like mess around with like thinking of how that would pan out. Like that's kind of fun to go, okay, so they're in his head, but he can, if he's stressed out enough, they become real.
Maybe. Could be. Like, who knows? These is some sort of like latent ghost summoner.
Yeah, or ghost creator.
Like, I mean,
he made them.
I'm a ghost creator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you're a murderer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's a serial manslaughterer.
Fair.
Yeah, it did have Frighteners energy.
It did have some,
like, not enough to carry it the whole way, but some.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think it's like the weird, like the ghosts in that, in Frighteners, were like that same more human than human, like just.
Yeah, they're just hanging out.
Extra.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the sheriff ghost and then the drill sergeant, which was out of the army. Like,
yes.
Trying to keep all the ghosts in line in the
cemetery.
Yeah, in the graveyard. Yeah. This has that same kind of energy, and it's fun. It's a fun little movie. The prosthesis stuff was great. Like, it was weird seeing Alex Winter like not in makeup.
Yes.
I was like, oh, he didn't age the same way that Keanu did.
He definitely did not.
No. But the thing is, like, his acting ability when he's all. It shines through like prosthesis, like he's really good, like Doug Jones, where it's just he can really find his voice, I think, through body movement and making weird voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like he's really good as Vlad. I like him better as Vlad than just when he's like the little county appointed lawyer. Like, he was fine, but the thing, I kept thinking he was actually just going to have been Vlad, but like in a People Guys.
That would be really funny, actually.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen, because he was weird, but then everyone was weird, so
I mean, I just think Hello Billy is going to live rent free in my head for the next couple of months.
It's pretty good. The voice is just very silly.
Yes.
It's the nice juxtaposition, because he's like very physically like menacing. I don't want to go as far as threatening, but, you know, like he's very strong and he's very in your face all the time. But then his voice, he sounds like a Muppet.
Yeah. Yes.
And he looks kind of like a Muppet. He's just a little weirdo.
Yeah, just lifting his cement blocks in his apartment.
Yeah, for hours. Like, that's all he does.
He's so small.
He's a little Wolverine.
Yeah, pretty much. Bub. But yeah, worth a watch. If you go Shutter, it's free.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, check it out. It's we can't like convey the weirdness, I think, of the visuals.
Not at all. Sufficiently.
Yeah. You gotta see it. You gotta see it for yourself. All right. I think that'll do us for this episode.
Indeed you do.
We'll be back next week. I don't think we have anything in particular.
Cover. We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something and let you know. Maybe we'll cruise Shutter more.
Yeah, know. Plenty on there.
I'm actually also thinking about maybe Phantasm. That's been on the to-do for a long time, and I just picked up Don Coscarelli wrote an anthology book of like backstory for a bunch of the characters.
Oh, interesting.
So it like fleshes out a lot of the lore.
That could be cool.
Could be cool. We'll figure it out. Might want to just do something easy again.
Yeah.
We'll see. And we'll let everyone know. And you can find us where you can find us. Twitter's on fire, worse than it was ever before. So technically still there, but probably going to call it soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. This was fun, and we'll be back next week. So have a good night, folks. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Monster Dear Monster is brought to you by Fireheart Media. If you enjoyed the show, please share this and all of our episodes with friends, and remember to rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. Word of mouth is the only way we grow. If you like You can also kick us a few bucks to help us keep the lights on at ko-fi.com/fireheartmedia. Check out our other show, Jolichon's Place, at www.jolichon.place.